We're glad you're here today. I think I mentioned that earlier, but we're glad that we can be together like this and study the Word. We've been looking at the faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith of Jesus. Did Jesus have to have faith to do what he did? That doesn't occur to a lot of people. It didn't occur to me until not too long ago. I started studying the idea of the faith. This first slide we have up here, it starts with the question, did Jesus need faith? Did he need faith to do what he did? Did he need faith to redeem us? He's called in Revelation the faithful witness. Did he need faith? Did he have to have faith in his Father? Well, of course he did. The next slide, I put this scripture up here just to show you, Romans 3:22. Beginning of verse, 3:22 is on the screen there, but verse 21, Now righteousness from God apart from law, which has been made known, righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Or some translations, I think King James has the faith of Jesus. So is it the faith of Jesus or faith in Jesus that saves us? Is it the faith of Jesus or the faith in Jesus that saves us? The answer is yes. It's the faith of Jesus and the faith in Jesus, right? He had to have, he's called the author and perfecter of our faith. So he had to go first. He had to go first and live out the law before his Father and be crucified and be raised from the dead before we could have any faith. You can have faith in something that hasn't happened yet. It happened, and now we have put faith in that, right? So he did have to have faith, and I think you get that. You understand that. In fact, the next slide has a famous verse, one well known to most of us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Impossible. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So what does that say? Can you please God without faith? Can't do it. Well, what's faith? Trust. Faith is relationship. Faith is, I've said that before, but probably bears repeating, that if I tell you, you tell me you got a problem and you can't pay off your car is about to be repossessed, you need $500 to keep your car or something like that. And if I say, well, I'll cover that for you, I'll do that for you. How you react to that depends on how well you know me. If you trust me, you say, well, he's got this. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to help me pay this off. But if you don't know me very well, you might say, thank you, and then walk away and think, I sure hope he does that. Or if you know me real well, you might say, walk away and say, you never know what he's going to do. He might not. So I better not plan on that. What is faith? It's based on the character of the person you have the faith in. The character of the person you're looking to put your faith in. You're looking at the character of Jesus. You're looking at the character of the Father. So faith is a trust, a walk of trust with that person. Now, if you've been mistaught, if you have been mistaught about Christ, you might not have much faith in him. What do I mean mistaught about Christ? That he's stern, that he's unforgiving, that he doesn't really like you that much, that he is out to trip you up, that the Father is a mean old man with a long white hair and a long gray beard up in heaven, and he doesn't think very much of us. Look how bad we behave, and so he doesn't have time for us. And boy, if you actually happen to get in the door, you might get to go to heaven if you're just a really, really good person. You might. You might. Some people say, I know my grandma was going to heaven because she was a good person. Well, is that what gets you in? Mm-mm. She might have been good, but she wasn't perfect. God is perfect. Heaven is perfect. If you're going to go to a perfect place and worship a perfect God, you got to be perfect. But I can't be perfect. Jesus says, I got that. Come to me. I got that for you. I was perfect. I lived it out right, all completely right, and so now you can have my perfection, and so here's your ticket. Come on in. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the good news. Gospel means good news. That's the good news. And the good news is he did it for us. So does it take faith to please God? Did the Father say about Jesus at Jesus' baptism, did the Father say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased"? He said it. Two of the different gospel accounts say that. Maybe three. "This is my Son." I mean, when he's baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit baptized, Christ is baptized, and the Holy Spirit comes, and a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus had not done anything yet. He had not worked the first miracle. He hadn't done anything. The Father still said, "I'm pleased." Did you know you can have faith in God? let's say you're having faith in God. You got a disease and you're having faith in God to heal you of that disease. And you're putting your faith in God. And when does God like that? When you get cured or when you put the faith in him? It's the faith that pleases him. The faith pleases him. So the faith, Jesus pleased the Father by faith. If he didn't have faith, then he couldn't have pleased his Father. We know he did please his Father, right? So let's look at this. The next slide says this. The apostle said to the Lord one time, this is kind of the war cry of the church. The apostle said to Jesus, what did they say? "Lord, increase our faith." Increase our faith. Luke 17, verse 5. What does that mean? Well, the disciples, the apostles had been there, the disciples, and Jesus was teaching them. And they said, if somebody sins against you, forgive them. And Peter said, "How many times? Seven?" And Jesus said, "No, try 70 times seven." And they said, "What? Increase my faith? I don't have faith for that. I barely got faith for one." "Well, I forgive you one time. Then we'll see how you'll do." But seven times? That was a stretch for Peter. What about the others? Lord said, you got to go overboard with your forgiveness. And they said, "What? Help us here. Help me here. I need some more faith. Increase my..." You know what he said to them in that reading there? "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, or you could say to this mulberry tree, be taken up and thrown in the sea, and it would obey you." What did he say about faith? It doesn't take much. Do you have any? Do you have any? He said, "Well, I don't have much." That's enough. That's enough. Look at the next scripture. Next scripture is Romans 12, verse 3. He's talking to the church there in Romans chapter 12 about following. That's a passage that talks about present your bodies as living sacrifices. And then he says this: "Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Did God give you some faith when you got in the kingdom? He gave you a measure. He gave you, one guy said he gave you starter faith. The Holy Spirit has to teach you. When you even come to Christ, it all starts with believing. It all starts with Romans chapter 10. How do you get in the faith to start with? You have to hear the message, believe the message, confess Jesus. Now, he doesn't talk about baptism there in Romans 10, but he did in chapter 6. He's talking to people that have already been baptized, and he's telling them how that thing works. How does a person get in the kingdom? It starts with belief and with faith. He gave us a measure of faith. So you have faith, and you have probably faith as big as a mustard seed, and you just don't know it. Faith. Faith. So can he increase that faith? He can increase it. He can increase it. And you can increase it. He'll show you how. Faith is not a complicated, mysterious thing. Faith is just, I listen, I believe what he tells me, because I look around this old broken world and I think, they don't have anything for me. This world's headed down fast as it can go. Are we right now in the Western culture, actually in the world, are we headed in a race to the bottom? So you want to be a part of that? It's like people on the Titanic saying, I think I'll hang on a little longer. I don't need a lifeboat right now. I think I'll hang on a little longer See how this thing goes. What do smart people do? What did the smart people do? Where'd they say that lifeboat is? Okay, I'm gone. I'm going. Do you see the culture sinking? Do you see the world not what it used to be? It never was perfect. You see it? Do you see it not what it used to be? It's sinking. Peter preached 2,000 years ago to those people that were gathered there at the day of Pentecost. He said, save yourselves from this perverse generation. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. In other words, bail out now. Accept Christ. That's what he was preaching, right? This is a man you crucified. He's back. And he's been raised from the dead. And he's now Lord. And they said, uh-oh. Remember it says in Acts 2, they were pierced to the heart? I said, oh, no. What do we do? Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive, don't leave this part out, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, what did they know that was? They had just seen it in them. They came out of there with power out of that upper room. They said, you mean we can have that? Yeah, you can have that. So faith in him is not all that difficult, is it? Think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith. Has God given you a measure of faith? He has. Can he increase it? Yeah, he's about to as we look at this. Why do you come to church anyway? To get the stock market report? Learn where to buy some better shoes? Get some tips on your saving gas with your car? Why do you come to church? I want to hear words from God. If you don't hear words from God, it's a waste of time. If we're not having fellowship with God, it's not much point. There's not much point doing it. Why do you come in here? I need some faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans chapter 10, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the latest soap opera. Faith comes by hearing the news. I met a guy one time that had every newscast known to man on his. He showed me his phone. He had every, I mean, it was two or three major screens, and every one of them was all the newscasts. I'm thinking, you're going to stay depressed. Do you need some good word? Do you need, I want some faith words. I need some words to help me have faith, because the world, as soon as I get out of here today, the world will be trying to take it away from me, because I need some words. Your faith is built and increased by the Word of God. How can we increase it? Next slide. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, or of our faith, some versions have, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It goes on to say, despising the shame. What did Jesus do for us? He endured the cross and didn't let that shame stop him. Did he have faith? Did he have faith to push through? Did he have faith to give up himself? Did he have faith to empty himself? Did he have faith to go through the trials and the crucifixion and the beatings and the destruction of his body? Did he have faith to do that? Faith said, the other side, I'm going through horrible things now, but the other side is stunning. The other side is beautiful. Why did he endure it? He could see us. He could see us 2,000 years ago. And a joy came up in him. And it helped him. He's the author, the one who wrote our faith, author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. So I increase my faith when I walk with him. I increase my faith when I see him and read about him and pray through him. And so that increases my faith, because I'm fixing my eyes on the one that loved me that much, and I trust him and I believe him. The world doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about. And worldly Christians don't have a clue what I'm talking about. If you lost your spiritual appetite, it takes a little while to get it back. If you fasted for 40 days, they tell me, I've never gone that long, but they tell me if you fast for 40 days, you better start back simple. You don't go down and get a chili dog. You don't go down and get a Happy Meal. What do? Oh, you start. I read one article that said you start with potato soup. You know, something with, you say no taste, no, but it won't turn you upside down. When you come back to the Lord, usually you need a little spoon feeding. You need somebody, let's start slowly with this, you know. Like the old joke about Vince Lombardi. He had so many championship football teams, and he had one that didn't turn out too well. So he showed up at practice the next day. He made them come back to practice the next day. They lost the big game. Come back tomorrow, we're going to practice. What? We're going to practice. Held up a football and said, gentlemen, this is a football. One guy in the back said, not so fast, coach. So sometimes you need to be renewed. We need it every week, don't we? Mm-hmm. Preferably Sunday and Wednesday. Right. You don't want to go too long without food, do you? I'm not saying it's about me. I'm saying it's about this. If I give you something that's not in here, you're not obligated to believe it, are you? Mm-hmm. It's about this. It's about the Word. The Word of God. I got to hurry here, but the next one, we fix our eyes on Him. All right, how did He live? How did He live? Next slide. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. Most of you know where He said that. When did He say that? Stretched out on the cross. In agony. We would be ready to punch somebody out if they did try to do that to us. Father, forgive them. Why? They don't understand. They're caught up in it. Even those people that are mocking Him and He's dying. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Is that a faith statement? Did that prayer get answered? Day of Pentecost, 3,000 baptisms on one day. It got answered. He had the faith to say, I'm going through this, but I'm seeing the other side, and I'm seeing all the millions and billions of people who will be saved through this. So, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You remember Stephen did the same thing? Stephen was being martyred, being stoned to death. And he said, do not lay this to the Father. He said, do not lay this sin to their charge. In other words, forgive them. One of the men that was there happened to be the Apostle Paul. He wasn't an apostle yet. He was still Saul of Tarsus. He was there holding the coats of the men that were stoning Stephen. And I'm assuming he heard Stephen say that. Did that prayer get answered? One of the greatest apostles ever, and a man who wrote probably, a third of the New Testament, was going along with killing Stephen, and Stephen still said, forgive them. Is that a faith statement? You know, you can forgive anybody of anything. Because it's a choice. You can forgive anybody of anything. What if I kill my child? You can forgive anybody of anything if you choose. You just say, Father, forgive them. Paul put it this way one time. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God says, if you've been hurt by people, God says, just stand aside. I'll take care of this. I'm the one who repays. You don't have to repay. I'll do that. And guess what? God will always do a better job on it than you would. You make a mess of things and hurt people even worse. So just stay out of it and say, is that what Jesus did? Dying on the cross, and He said, Father, the one in highest authority, forgive them. They don't understand. Was He living by faith at that point? The next part of that slide, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise, Luke 23:43. Today you will be with me in paradise. Who said that? Jesus said that. Where was He when He said that? Dying. Do you remember the thieves or the criminals next to Him? And they were mocking Jesus, but then one of them had a change of heart. You read all the Gospels, put them together, one of them had a change of heart. And he said to the other criminal, he said, "This man's done nothing wrong. We deserve to be here. But this man's done nothing wrong." And then he looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now look at that faith statement. Is that a faith statement? Dying on the cross, he said, "But a little while, I'm going to be in paradise." I've seen Christian people do that. I've seen people on their deathbed, excited about what's ahead of them. Most are not, but sometimes you run across people who will, "Oh, I can't wait to see Jesus." Judy's mom was that way. "I can't wait to see Jesus." She was 93 in the nursing home, knew she wasn't going to live much longer. Judy was staying with her, and Judy said, at one point, Mama woke up, looked at me, and kind of came to herself and said, "You're not Jesus." That's an imitation of Jesus' faith. I know where I'm going. Was Jesus making a faith statement? He knew where he was headed. "And you can go with me, fella. I don't care what you've done. I forgive you. You can go with me." Did they make it to paradise? Sure did. Next slide. He said on the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" That used to bother me. Even as a preacher, I thought, was he saying, "You let me down"? Was he saying, "All of this work and it's not going to pan out"? Was he saying, "I give up, this is it, I thought it would go better than this"? No. What's he saying? The next part of the slide has Psalm 22. Look at the two lines. What did he say in Matthew 27:46? My God, why have you forsaken me?" What does it say in Psalm 22, verse 1? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is not quoting a psalm in his agony. That psalm is living in him. It is alive in him. And you know, when somebody is at their worst pain, what's really in them comes out. The nicest person you know, when they're pushed and they're hurting and they're in pain, might just cuss you out. It's like, "Get out of my room." When Jesus is there, and it's right down to the end, and it's right down to the horrible pain, what does he say? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Turn to that psalm, Psalm 22. I read a little of it. You can read it for yourself later, but Psalm 22, verse 1 starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, you do not answer. By night, I'm not silent." Did Jesus on the cross be cut off from his Father so we don't have to be? That's what he's talking about. He is that man who has been abandoned and forsaken, and he knows it. For the first time, he and his Father had been separated. For the first time, he didn't feel that closeness to his Father because the Father had turned his back. In order to save us, Jesus volunteered for that, and the Father turned his back and walked away. And Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" Look at this psalm. I'm going to read a couple of passages, not all of them, but verse 6, Psalm 22:6. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him." Did they say that to Jesus at the cross? Almost exactly word for word. Verse 11. He's still talking to God. "Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help." How many disciples left Jesus? All of them. Now his mom was there. His mother was there. And evidently it was John standing with her. And Jesus looked at Mary and John standing there while Jesus is dying, and he said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." In other words, he's your son now, John. He's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. So evidently John was there. And then he said to John, "Behold your mother." And then it says, John took her into his home. And history says she lived with John the rest of her life, John and his family, and they lived in Ephesus one time. There's no one to help. Psalm 22:14. "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax." Did Jesus' heart turn to wax? It turned to blood and water. This amazing psalm. This psalm predicts the crucifixion. It's what it is. "My heart is like wax. It melted away within me." Verse 16, "Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet." How specific do you want? "I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." That's word for word what happened at the cross. David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Christ. Now, how did David know that? The Bible says David was a prophet. The Spirit speaking to David, he wrote that. Verse 19, "But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs." Dogs is another word for Gentiles sometimes in the Bible. 22, "I will declare your name to my brothers, and the congregation I will praise you." That's Hebrews, quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. How is it quoted in there? It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed of us. And it quotes this verse here. "I will declare your name to my brothers, and the congregation I will praise you." Verse 24, "For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help." I'll show you another place where you can tell Jesus, the Father, had heard him and helped him. 27, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over nations." 29, "All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him." Will every tongue confess and every knee bow to the... You hear it there. "Posterity," or the next generation, will serve him. "Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." So now you know why he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Anybody, any Jew standing there that knew that psalm would have said, he's that forsaken man we read about. And God's saving him. God's saving him out of that. Let's look at the next slide. He said, John 19:28, "I am thirsty." I am thirsty. And they gave him something to drink. Was he thirsty? You know, it's amazing to me that in all that agony and all that pain and all the things he was going through, just that simple phrase, "I'm thirsty." You ever been really thirsty? I have. Kind of breaks your heart, doesn't it? In the middle of all of that, "Could I have a drink, please?" And they gave him something. "I am thirsty." The next one. He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. John 19:30. "It is finished." Did he know he had to do this? He told his disciples several times, I will go to Jerusalem, and they will persecute me, and some of you will betray me, one of you will betray me, and I will be crucified. He said that to them, and I will be raised from the dead. They didn't get it. He said it more than once. And that's what happened. Now it's finished. What's finished? His mission. What's finished? Dying for the sin of the world is finished. What's finished? The law. We studied that in class, right? He's the end of the law for everybody who believes. It's all finished. It's all finished. There's nothing against you. There's nothing against you today that you couldn't come to the Lord and have a home in heaven. Jesus crying out, next slide. Jesus crying out with a loud voice said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Where is his faith now? His faith now is complete. It's like, I'm coming to you. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. So how does that all impact us? When you come to a place in life where you don't think you're going to make it, and you come to a place in life where the pain is terrible, it can be psychological pain, it can be betrayal by other people, Jesus went through that, it can be physical pain, it can be looking back on a life that you wish you hadn't lived it quite that way, all kinds of pain. We have all kinds of pain in life, don't we? If in that pain you can say, Father, forgive them. Or in that pain you can say, I commit my spirit to you, Father. I know you're taking care of me. I know, and it hurts now, but I know I have a future. I know I'll be in that paradise that Jesus talked about. Then you're imitating his faith, aren't you? I put this next slide up here, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did his faith pay off? Did his faith get him there? It got him there. It got him there. That's why the Father said a long time before that, this is my Son, I'm pleased in him, because I see his faith. I see his faith. So what do? Fix our eyes on him. Fix our eyes on him. We were eating out last night, and a little family there in the restaurant, they had a little girl and an older son, and they had this little one in the high chair. And the little one was having fun and patting the table, and they were paying. She couldn't talk, but she could get their attention, you know, and they were talking to her. Well, Mama and the little girl got up and went around the corner in the hallway there to the ladies' room. And that little girl watched, and she watched. And she looked back at her daddy, and then she looked again. We got tickled at her. And she'd do something, then she'd look again. Where'd Mama go? Where'd Sister go? And she kept looking back there. Are we supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus? Where is he today? I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to pray to him. I want to read about him. Live in that Bible. Live. This is your life. I said it to the class, I think, Wednesday night. You got to get a revelation of this. You are supernatural. Did you know that? You're a supernatural spirit. What does that mean? Well, what's supernatural? Super means beyond. Natural is the natural world. You're beyond nature. You're not just an animal body. You're supernatural. You will live forever, somewhere. Supernatural. So why are we afraid of supernatural things? Why are we afraid of answered prayer? Why are we afraid of the Holy Spirit? Why are we afraid of God sending angels to help us? We're not afraid of that, because that's our homeland. Heaven is your home country. It's your homeland. That's why you have an affinity for it. That's why, what's that song? Beulah Land, I'm homesick for a place I've never been. Are you homesick for heaven? Doesn't mean we're going to go right now. Might be today. I don't know. But that's your natural country. That's your homeland. That people that go all over the world, do jobs in different places, they'll tell you, oh, it's so good to be back home, right? When you get to heaven, and that paradise Jesus talked about, you'll be in love that you can't describe. Even if God sent you back here to describe, you wouldn't be able to. Paul was in the third heaven one time, said he couldn't, it was unlawful for him to speak some things. He couldn't describe what he saw. When you get there, it's going to be home. It's going to be love. It's going to be, oh, this is what I waited for. And all those trials and problems and issues will seem like nothing. You say, eh, that was nothing. It's like, well, I had a bout with cancer back in 17, and I'm in a group of pastors that pray together, and we just pray for the region. And in talking about that cancer, I told them I was going through radiation, and one of the younger preachers, he said, "Well, you talk about it like it's a bad cold. It's like you got cancer." And I thought, but I'm not scared. When they told me I had it, I wasn't scared. It was just like, I don't have time for this. I got things I got to do. And sure enough, it worked out. I had 44 days of radiation, and I was fine. And that's been years ago, and I'm still cancer-free. So my point was that as you get older, some of the things you go through don't seem as bad, do they? And if you have trust in God, it doesn't seem as bad. I mean, some things rattle you, but not everything. So when you get to heaven, you're going to say, why was I so worried about that? Why was I so frustrated about that? Why didn't I keep my mouth shut more? Why didn't I have more faith in Jesus? He told me all of this. He told me it was going to be okay. I should have listened. I would have had a nicer life. I would have had a happier life. When Jesus gave up his spirit to his Father, we can walk by that same kind of faith. If we do what? Fix our eyes on Jesus. The who? Author and perfecter. The one who began it, your faith. He's talking about your faith. The one who began our faith as Christians and the one who ends it. He fulfilled it, and it's there for you. Just walk by faith and not by sight. Lesson number one in walking by faith is open this book. I don't understand it. Oh, you will. I didn't understand algebra the first day I took it. Still don't, but I told you about, I think I was in class, I said that about my little cousin, that she didn't want to go to school first grade. She started crying. Why don't you want to go to first grade? I can't read and write. Well, no, you're going to get that when you get to school. They're going to teach you that. So when we follow, we fix our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, it's His faith. Do you want a portion of His faith? That's what we're doing. That's what Christians do. We have a portion, the measure of faith, but we have a portion of His faith in us because we have His Spirit in us and we have His Word. And this Word is supernatural, right? You're a supernatural being waiting to go to a supernatural world, and this book is a supernatural book, and so you get in it. But I don't read very well. Oh, they've got places all over the world, all over the internet, where you can get it on tape. You can get it on, well, tape is no more, but CD. Our sermon is a podcast. You get those online. I've got in my phone, I've got 50 or 60 translations of the Bible. And a lot of those translations, my phone will read it to me. It's like, you have no excuse for saying, I don't care about reading the Bible. I can't read. Well, can you listen? Yeah. There are ways to do it. There are places in the world where people would give up a year's salary to have a Bible, and they can't get one. So what's the first step to fixing your faith on Jesus? Prayer and getting in this Word. Somehow get in this Word. Our notebook that was mentioned in the prayer earlier is a notebook we have here that we pray over every time we're together, and it's full of names, if you didn't know that. Full of names, and the names in here were submitted by you. If you have some more, submit them today. That's got, I think, 30-some-odd pages. And most pages have more than one name. These are family and friends and people you want to see come to Christ. We pray over this every time. It is, we also pray for those that have quit, and we want them to come back. So as I pray, I want you to pray also. We'll be praying for that here in just a minute. I want you to pray, think of somebody in your circle, friends or family, that you say they need Jesus. They need to come. They need to come back. Maybe it is. Maybe they need to just come back. We're praying for them. So while I'm praying over this, you be praying also. And we want to see answers come. Father, we are again petitioning you about these individuals. We pray that you open their hearts. You said we do not have because we do not ask. So we're asking. Your word said, I'm looking at it right now on the screen, John 6:44. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We ask you to draw them, these individuals here, draw them in, Lord. You said you would do that. You said you can do that and are willing to do that. So draw them in, Father. We want to see them saved and in that paradise with all of us, and the new that resurrection, get a new body. We thank you, Father, that you love us that much. So we pray for them. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.